Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, we discuss a hearing that could determine the future of Albatross Aviary. We talk about the book Climate Wayfinding. Gilda's Club Grand Rapids announces its 2026 Camp Sparkle Sessions. Hackley Public Library offers a plethora of spring and summer programs. We talk about what's on offer. We discuss the book Mama Says I'm Fine and the book Changing Cadence.
Albatross Aviary. Let's talk about this wonderful sanctuary for rescued, exotic, and displaced birds. Hearing right around the corner to determine perhaps a crucial future. We talked to you, Matt Zimmerman, about the aviary, sanctuary and more. Matt, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Good that you are here and know that you have a story to share when it comes to this wonderful, prominent West Michigan nonprofit bird sanctuary, educational advocacy organization, and more. All right, tell me about your aviary, Matt.
So it's Albatross Aviary. We're a 501c3 nonprofit sanctuary. We take in abandoned, neglected, and abused birds, most of which are exotic. It's a really unique operation. There's really nothing else like it. And, it's been in operation for over a decade at various locations, and we've been just kind of going through an evolution of sorts. Last year, we were in an older building that we found out once we'd established there that it was condemned, and we had a lot of problems with that building, and so we moved last August into this facility that was very generously to us, and it's really the ideal location. We have a ton of space in there, and unfortunately, we've been mislabeled, and we are now in a struggle with the city to get the zoning changed so that we can continue to operate and provide a life for all these birds.
Yes, breaking up a little, we'll stay with you. Albatross Aviary. Now, you, Matt, you don't adopt birds out to the general public, but you are focusing on long-term, lifelong sanctuary, and is there even intensive behavioral rehabilitation here?
Yeah, so what I'd like to focus on is a lot of these birds, what people don't understand is that birds are a lifelong commitment, and they require a lot more attention than other domestic animals. The majority of birds that people buy off of from pet stores and breeders are not domesticated. Parrots and cockatoos and cockatiels, they're all wild animals, and so they haven't really evolved or developed alongside humans to the way that pigeons and doves and chickens and canaries and other birds have. So when you're taking one of these birds into your home, it's you're taking a wild animal in, and you're living with a wild animal. And so a lot of people get in over their heads, and they can't they find out very quickly that birds can be loud, they can be destructive. If they don't socialize enough, then they can start having temperamental issues the same way that people do when they're isolated and when they're, not socialized. And so it quickly becomes overwhelming for a lot of people. So what we do is we take in these birds, and we work with them in the same way that a lot of people work with children with developmental issues and emotional trauma and things like that. So we work to rehabilitate these birds socially and in the same way that, like I said, people work with children. And we try to provide a lifelong home for them and an environment that they can thrive in, because birds live oftentimes longer than people. So some of our birds were their original owners passed away, and they didn't have family that could care for them, and so they came to us. And we get some birds that people aren't able to care for, and they start having behavioral issues, and they don't know what to do. So they come to us, and we socialize with them, and we get them to a state where they're happy and healthy. And but, yeah, we don't We don't adopt out because, frankly, we're of the position that the bird trade is a harmful thing. And, frankly, nobody should own these birds as pets. They're companions. I think framing it like they're pets, like a cat or a dog, I think that's a really unhealthy way to look at it because they're very social creatures and they require a lot more care and a lot more commitment than I think most people are even aware of.
So thank you again for the good work with Albatross Aviary. As you mentioned, founded in 2015, you dedicated to rescuing and rehabbing exotic birds impacted by the pet trade. Birds have feelings too, is I guess my opinion. So you go into a hearing tomorrow to discuss zoning variance and continue to ask for the protection of, what, at least 75 rescued companion birds, Matt?
Yeah, so we're seeking a use variance because, unfortunately, we've been labeled as a dog kennel because when the city looked at us, they didn't really have anything that they considered appropriate. So that's what we kind of got stuck with. So we're seeking a use variance so that we can continue to operate. Right now, we're stuck in a position where we can't build new habitats. We can't complete the ones that we have because we can't do a lot of the work that we need to help these birds thrive. And so we're seeking a use variance so that we can resume construction of, their habitats and everything and provide the birds with everything they need for their environment.
Yes. Matt, how can the community help?
The community could help by writing in letters of support for the good work that we're doing. Those can go to planning@grcity.us. Just letters of support stating that, we're a benefit to the community, we provide a unique and necessary service. And that we deserve to be there because birds don't have anywhere else to go. That's why we have so many. Birds are one of the top five most surrendered and abandoned animals when it comes to the pet trade. Depending on what region you're in, that number, they can be a lot higher up on that list. But we get at least two phone calls a day about, birds that need to find a home or need to get taken care of. And frankly, we're at a point where we have to turn people away because we can't do more than we're already doing unless we get this use variant so that we can continue building habitats.
Well, stay the course. How do we find out more about Albatross Aviary, Matt?
You can find us at our website, albatrossaviary.org. And we're a nonprofit. We operate solely on the donations of the public. So, if people want to help, another way they can help is to donate. Every little bit helps. We have links on our website to give butter and other forms of donation, and really just spreading awareness of the problem with the bird trade.
Nice. All right, Matt, good luck to you. We'll do a follow-up to see how things went and how the community can continue to help, these exotic birds that deserve a chance. Albatross Aviary, Matt Zimmerman, thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Author Catherine Wilkinson joins in. She writes the book Climate Wayfinding, Healing Ourselves and the Planet We Call Home. When maps come up short and the path ahead is uncertain, how do we find our way? She's a visionary climate leader offering this compassionate and empowering guide to navigating from ache to action, doubt to possibility. You are a strong woman. Hello to you, Catherine Wilkinson. Yes?
Are millions of women who are working to save the world.
Well, sit back and enjoy, obviously, the importance of what you've been doing. What have you been doing before we get into climate wayfinding? Again, a long introduction to you.
Well, Shelley, I'm an author of books, including the best-selling anthology, All We Can Save, Prior to that, the New York Times bestseller I was the lead writer of, and an earlier book called Between God and Green. And I run a nonprofit called the All We Can Save Project, which works on climate education and leadership development.
Yes. Let's get into your latest work, Climate Wayfinding. What's your intent?
So, Shelley, we know that around the world, a majority of people care about the climate crisis. They are worried about what is happening to our planet. They want to see more action. And most of them are stuck. Most people feel overwhelmed by how big this issue is and how small each of us feels in our own lives. Climate Wayfinding takes you by the hand and helps you walk through a series of explorations, looking inward, looking outward, and looking forward, because each of us has a role to play. Each of us is a node of possibility for healing the planet we call home. But we need more than a punch list. We need support. You might think of this, Shelley, as something like the artist's way, but for our climate lives rather than our creative lives.
Yes. Yeah, I like to think it starts with just picking up a piece of trash that you walk by, and maybe that is one step. But let's have you bring us where you'd like us to start in keeping our home clean and safe.
Yeah, we love this planet, right? This is something that we know, and particularly for young people. They're really feeling the weight of this time. When we survey young people around the world, Shelley, upwards of 85% of them say that they are somewhat or very worried. They feel sad. They feel betrayed. They feel angry. They feel afraid. And almost half of them say that those feelings impact their day-to-day lives. So I think this is a particularly important book for young people who are trying to figure out, what is it going to mean to be alive on this time of so much change and yet also so much possibility? And in fact, this book grows out of a program that has a network of facilitators now on 75 college and university campuses across the U.S. and Canada. So even though it is just making its way into the world as a book, all of the practices and ideas and frameworks of this book, they've all been thoroughly tested and honed. And as a student said recently after a climate wayfinding retreat at his college, I think I learned more about climate change in 3 days than I have in 3 years. And that is exactly the kind of acceleration we need of leadership on this topic, Shelley.
Thank you for that, Catherine Wilkinson, again with us, Climate Finding, Healing Ourselves and the Planet We Call Home. Take me on then, maybe perhaps a climate journey here.
I'd love that. So in every chapter of this book, there are what I call lighting the way stories. So stories of other leaders on climate who are doing amazing work in different parts of the world. One of those stories is of actually a dear friend, Jennifer Robinson, who's a human rights lawyer. And when we were in grad school together, Shelley, she would have told me, she was a human rights lawyer, not an environmental lawyer, to leave the environmental law to the environmental lawyers. Well, we had some heated debates, and she came to realize that, in fact, the integration of the conditions of our planet and the conditions of human life here are, of course, totally inseparable. And she ended up being on the core legal team for the major case that happened last year, taking climate change to the International Court of Justice, the World Court, which saw a landmark climate ruling. And that case began, the idea for that began in a classroom in Fiji. A group of law students at the University of the South Pacific said, look, if we've got the world's biggest problem, we need to take it to the world's highest court. And that was a wildly bold idea, but they championed it. The legal strategy was built and it got through, and we saw a landmark ruling that says, in fact, countries around the world are responsible for dealing with the pollution that is heating our planet and causing so many challenges, from shorelines slipping beneath rising seas, glaciers melting, droughts, you name it, all of the things we're seeing and that we're going to see more of this summer.
Thank you for that. What are you telling the kids these days?
I think it's really important for the kids these days to know that it is totally unfair, the situation that they find themselves in. And here we are. And it's going to take all of us to try to right the ship.
What else do we need to know?
We need to know that, you know, when we are facing a planetary crisis, just like a personal one, we don't want to go it alone. But we know that so many people are feeling isolated. They're worried about this, but they think that other people are not. And so there's an eerie silence around the topic, Shelley, and that's part of why I'm so delighted for us to be talking this morning. Because whether it's neighbors, friends, coworkers, certainly children, people are thinking about this, they're worrying about this, and it's really important for us to break out of isolation and figure things out together. And that's why one of the really unique pieces of this book, and it's drawn from the program itself, has reading groups. There's a reading group agenda at the end of every chapter. So you don't just read the essay, the poem, the story. You might do the journaling prompts. You might do a creative mapping exercise or a guided meditation. But then if you're up for it, you can come into conversation with a group of other folks who also care and also want to be more deeply engaged. And I think that is actually a really important action to take, building community. And we know from research that community is the most important thing to have also when we're facing climate impacts like a natural disaster.
Right. Where do we start to begin healing ourselves and the planet we call home, in summary?
Well, I'd invite folks to look at our website, which is climatewayfinding.earth. You can explore the book there. You can also find out more about reading groups. We have a whole host of resources you could dig into. And for any educators out there, we also have a formal training program for facilitators of climate wayfinding. So there's a whole bunch of things that will help you get going to find your first foothold. But the book really is the best resource we've got that can make climate wayfinding and this experience of learning and discovery available to anyone with a library card.
We start and stick with the best, thanks to you. Climate Wayfinding, Healing Ourselves and the Planet We Call Home, Dr. Catherine Wilkinson, one more time, best way to find out more information?
climatewayfinding.earth.
Power of repetition. You take care. Again, congratulations on your Time Magazine Award, as you are one of the women who will save the world. Thank you. Gilda's Club Grand Rapids. Well, you're almost 24/7, I imagine, announcing a 2026 Camp Sparkle. The sessions are ready to be discussed. You, childhood coordinator Chelsea Faust, with conversation. It's good to camp, especially when it's Camp Sparkle. Hi, Chelsea.
Hello, good morning.
I appreciate you and the good work that Gilda's Club Grand Rapids does. Obviously, you're all about Laugh Fest, and yet those funds raised to support the programming, such as what we're to discuss, I trust.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about Camp Sparkle.
Camp Sparkle is a wonderful camp that we run every year for 2 weeks, both weeks being a little bit different. The first week is for kids who have experienced any kind of grief, and the second week is for kiddos that have experienced any type of cancer in the journey in their life.
How important is it to include kids on this journey?
So important. Sometimes I think life gets really busy, and as adults, we get into our own heads and think we have things going on. But kids are always in it, and they don't know necessarily how to cope or deal with their grief or their cancer journey. So having other kids that know exactly what they're going through is so important so they can help each other out.
Why is it named Camp Sparkle?
Camp Sparkle, that's a great question. So Gilda Radner is the person that we have Gilda's Club is named after. And she had a special dog named Sparkle. So we named it Camp Sparkle after her dog, Sparkle.
Yes, and the good work that, of course, Gilda's Club Grand Rapids does, as it is an affiliate of the Cancer Support Community. Okay, what are my dates of the, we'll start with two camps. Yes, Grief Camp and Cancer Camp?
Yes, so Grief Camp will be June 15th, 17th, and 19th. And then Cancer Camp will be the 22nd, the 24th, and the 26th. With a little bit of fun toward the end of both camps, we have about a two-hour family afternoon that the family can join the campers. So they can be campers themselves for a little bit.
This is free to the kids?
Absolutely free. Everything's free. We have a lunch. We have community partners coming in to make it, you know, we were talking about grief and cancer, but we also have a lot of fun.
Yes. As they say with Laugh Fest, you have to laugh at times, but you have to have fun in times too. Zoning in, Chelsea, then on Grief Camp, 15th, 17th, and 19th. Who's eligible for this?
Anyone who has experienced grief. And if they're, they have to be 5, and then the cutoff age is 11.
Are the parents involved?
They are, as far as dropping off and picking up. The only time they're actually really involved, if they want to be, is for the part of the family day.
And this is 9:15-ish to 3 o'clock day?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Lunch included.
Yes.
And then cancer camp, you mentioned June 22, 24, 26, same age groups?
Yep, same age groups. The only difference is it's any kiddo that has experienced a cancer journey with people in their lives that have cancer, if they have cancer, from age 5 to 11.
Let's dig deep. Does this Camp Sparkle give kids a place to feel understood?
Absolutely. I think it's great. When we can, like, kids can talk to adults all day about how they feel and what they are doing, but kids really thrive when they're going through something really tough, when they're with their peers that have gone through the exact same thing.
Would you say what the youngest age was?
5 years old.
Are the 5-year-olds hanging out with the 11-year-olds?
They sure are. Yes. Yep.
Do they know why they're there?
They do. Yep, we come in, we get them settled, and we have a fun activity, and we start camp right off away with one of our amazing facilitators, Phil, who works our youth program as well, and they ease into it and right away understand why they're there.
Do kids experience grief and cancer differently than adults?
Absolutely. As adults, sometimes we can say what we need to feel. Kids don't always have the words to say what they feel and what they need. So this helps them figure out the things that they need to work out in their tough journey that they're on. And sometimes I think adults could use it too. Yeah.
Again, Camp Sparkle, right around the corner. That's why we talk about it now. Days in June to be aware of Grief Camp and Cancer Camp. We'll give you that near the end and how to sign up. What about your professional staff and trained volunteers leading the experience?
Oh, yes. So we have a great staff on hand during the camp time, but a lot of it is ran by our amazing volunteers. So we have a ton of volunteers that come in. Actually, I think they run camp more than I do because they're sitting and being with the campers the whole entire time, and they are experiencing what those campers are going through and what they're talking about, and they're sitting there with them through camp.
Chelsea Faust with us on behalf of Gildas Club Grand Rapids. Yes, 2026 Camp Sparkle sessions ready for you. And I keep going back to this, but put on your psychological hat. Healing can happen through joy and connections. So kids aren't going to be sad the whole time.
Oh, no. They're allowed to feel however they feel. We have a thing at Gildas. You come as you are, feel as you are. However, we have a ton of community partners coming to join us through camp, and we're having a good time. So we have the GR Symphony, we have the GR Opera, Drums for All with Josh, the Grand Rapids Children's Museum's coming. So there's a whole vast variety of activities. It's going to be a busy day, but a good day for sure.
Chelsea, is emotional support during the summertime especially important?
It's especially important because you're out of school and you don't necessarily have the resources that you usually have during your school year. And you get to be with other kids when you're not usually with other kids during the summertime, typically when you're not in school. So it's just so important to have that kind of support, especially out of school.
And how does Gildas Club support the entire family?
We support the entire family when they come in for grief night and cancer night. Everybody has a place. So the really young kiddos have a place in Noogie Land. The kids have a place in kids group. The teens have a place with teens. And adults have a variety of groups they get to go to at the same time. So nobody is alone, and everybody has a place to go to help each other out. A
couple more questions. Back to grief camp. What falls under the umbrella grief? I don't have to have had lost a parent. It could be...
Absolutely. Anybody in your life, as long as they're human, because sometimes we get questions about animals and they're important too. But this specifically is for humans. So anybody that has experienced grief, like anybody, it could be a friend, it could be a sibling, it could be anybody in your life that you were close to.
Yes. And what about the cancer camp?
Cancer camp, same thing. Anybody in your life that you're super close to and it has experienced cancer.
Which we know are many.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What else is important?
I think just being together, having fun together, and just being in the same space, even if you're not talking about the grief or cancer, just being together is the most important thing about campus at Camp Sparkle.
And back to this opportunity for this free event because of the generous donor support.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we do without them. Yeah. Yeah.
Have to keep the lights on, but obviously the community comes together. All right. I trust now is the time to register.
Yes, please do. Register now. Grief Camp goes up till a week before Grief Camp starts. Off the top of my head, I can't think of what the date is, but a week before the 15th of Grief Camp. And then the last day to register for Cancer Camp is the 15th. The week before Cancer Camp.
Of this on your website.
Yes, absolutely. And feel free to reach out to me specifically if you have any questions.
Yes. In addition to, of course, the many other programs that continue alongside. But there's nothing like camp.
Absolutely.
Especially when it's named Camp Sparkle.
Yes, the name alone is so fun.
Yes, yes. Thank you for your good words. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Much happening under the umbrella of your Hackley Public Library, doing great things in the world of Muskegon and our West Michigan. And I'm sure, Mallory Metzger, you would agree with that. We're here to talk about a wonderful summer reading kickoff, plus a distinguished lecture that happens tomorrow, but I don't want to take your thunder. Good morning, Mallory.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, I always start with the 101s. Where is your library and what are you most proud of?
Yes, Hackley Library is located in downtown Muskegon. The address is 316 West Webster Avenue. We are right across from Hackley Park. And, you know, I'm really proud to be a part of this organization because we offer so many great resources. There's really something for everyone, whether it's borrowing materials, coming to programs, utilizing the Wi-Fi. You know, this is really a community hub, and it's such a great organization to be a part of.
I'm glad you mentioned we can still pick up a book and read in the corner. But there is more to do. First of all, here we are, May 20th. Is tomorrow a big evening for you?
It is. So tomorrow is the 44th annual Charles Henry Hackley Distinguished Lecture event. And this is an event put on by our Friends of Hackley Public Library, which is a great organization that helps make a lot of programs possible here at Hackley Library. But the annual event that they're having, it's something that is in the humanities. And they do this annually. So every year, they showcase someone who has ties to Muskegon and also has distinguished themselves in the humanities. And so tomorrow we are going to be enjoying a great lecture presented by Frank Bednarik. The title of this presentation is called Bad Bunny, Snoop Dogg, and Martha Stewart, Why We Need Them. And this talk will be really interesting. It'll connect the challenges to our local cultural institutions, also with an assessment of our strengths and ways to support and defend our community's cultural life and heritage. And this actually will take place next door to Hackley. It'll take place at the Muskegon Museum of Art, again, happening Thursday, May 21st at 7 p.m. It is free. It's open to the public. Everyone is invited to come and listen to this great presentation. Plus, there will be a reception afterwards at Hackley Library. But right next door, you can walk right over.
Great. And then let me get right into your Hackley Library Summer Reading Kickoff event, which happens on the 30th.
Yes, this is something we're really excited for. It's our first summer reading kickoff event ever. As you mentioned, it's Saturday, May 30th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in Hackley Park. And it's a great way to kind of get everyone together and just get really excited about summer and summer reading and everything that we have to offer from Hackley Library. Some of the great activities that we'll be offering at the kickoff include an author visit with Jonathan Rand. He's the author of the Michigan Chiller series. He'll be here at Hackley Park from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. on the 30th. He'll have books available where you can purchase and also get them signed. We're also going to be having a Nerf challenge that day in Hackley Park from 12 to 1, which is always so much fun. Kids love it. Plus, we'll have free books for kids and adults, free books provided by Embrace Books and the Community Book Bus. There'll be music, cardio drumming, there'll be a lot of lawn games, a photo booth, face painting, and tons of food trucks that will have delicious treats that you can purchase. And so really this is geared towards all ages. There is something for little, something for kids, teens, adults, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. And again, that'll be Saturday, May 30th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in Hackley Park.
Allie, your passion always super. Again, Hackley Public Library, which with much for you. All right, fill in the blanks. What else am I doing at your library?
Oh, my gosh. Well, so much. You know, of course, the kickoff event is in celebration of our summer reading program, which does officially kick off June 1st and runs through August 1st. And again, that is something for all ages to enjoy. All ages can download the Beanstack app, which is an online platform where you can track your reading and activities. You can earn prizes. Plus, you can enter for the chance to win a grand prize, which is always fun. But also keep in mind, we have other events coming up throughout the summer. We have Lighthouse Storytime on Wednesdays in June and July at 3 p.m. at the Muskegon South Pierhead Light. We have Chair Yoga coming up on June 5th. At 11 a.m., so something very mindful and moving. We also have a really cool speed social coming up on June 8th at Hackley Library. And this is always fun because it gives adults the chance to kind of get to know other people in the community. It's low stakes. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can meet others and kind of, you know, hone in on interests that each other has. And we've done it before. It's always such a great time. And that's in collaboration with the Healing Village. But those are just a couple things coming up. People can find more information on our website at hackleylibrary.org. And also follow us on Facebook. We have all of our events listed there, plus some fun updates that we share.
You are succinct and yet thorough on both ends. Mallory, what are you reading now?
So I'm actually in the middle of reading a book called It Starts With One, and it's The Legend and Legacy of Linkin Park, which is a band that formed, it was in the early 90s, and I love Linkin Park, I love their music, and so when I found out about this book, it's by a man named Jason Lipschitz, and it talks kind of about their history and their origin. So if anyone's interested in kind of, you know, learning about bands or a band that they're, you know, want to kind of be learning more about, Linkin Park, it's fabulous. I actually got the book through MEL, which is Michigan E-Library. So even though we didn't have the book in our collection here at Hackley, we work with so many other libraries throughout the state to make sure resources are accessible for everyone.
All right, there we are. Thank you very much. Again, details one more time for tomorrow night as we leave.
Yes, so tomorrow, the Hackley Distinguished Lecture, May 21st, it'll be at 7 p.m. at the Muskegon Museum of Art, and we'll be hearing from Frank Bednarik. And again, that event is free and open to the public, so we hope all will come.
All right, thank you very much. Again, take care of Muskegon, Hackley Public Library, and the many opportunities to explore your grounds. Take care.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
The line. She, a New York Times best-selling author. Coming from her talents, a heartwarming story of love and resilience that explores the powerful force of mother-daughter bonding. Mama Says I'm Fine, this sweet story, and I talk to you, Brittany. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, Shelley.
Thank you to you. Obviously, we talk about the storyline. We talk about a few themes as well. This described as perfectly capturing the unconditional love between mother and child, a heartfelt affirmation to all readers that, what, we're enough and we'll always be perfectly fine?
That's right. That's right. You know, this is just a way to remind us that, you know, the conversations we have with our children, they build confidence very early on. My mom absolutely did that. But, you know, she was kind of minimalist, so she wouldn't be over the top. She would just say, you're fine, you know. And that helped me to always know that I was okay, that I didn't need to fix or correct anything unless there was something to be fixed or corrected. And so it was just one of those very everyday, very regular affirmations that really helped to build my confidence, and I wanted to pay tribute to that.
Thank you. Brittany, talk a little bit about the storyline, if you would.
Yes. So this is a story of a mother and daughter. It's based on my growing up with my mom, who was a single mom. And, you know, so it shows us just moving through the paces of our life, moving through our days. And my mom would always tell me whenever I was unsure of myself or, you know, something had tried to come along and beat down my confidence, she would say, "You're fine." And sometimes "you're fine" meant, you know, I had scraped my knee and maybe I was having a bit of a dramatic reaction. She would say, "You're fine. Everything's okay." Right. Or if I did really well in school, she would be like, "You know, you did just fine." You know, it was a, you know, I think of it as that generation kind of late boomer, early Gen X, like not effusive with their praise, but just affirming that our children are okay and that they kind of get to be in the world and move through life and be okay. Yeah.
This described as showcasing, of course, your feminist sensibility, but also a message of empowerment for young girls?
Yes, that's right. I mean, I am a very proud feminist. I think that, you know, girl power rocks and rules. I think that the relationships we have with our parents help us to build confident young women and also confident young men who are not intimidated by confident young women. And so this is a story of a little girl learning to take up space in the world and be okay with who she is, no matter whether she's in school or she's helping her mom or she's, you know, just moving through the day in terms of, you know, doing her homework or helping around the house or, you know, wanting to go shopping, you know, and there's that moment with kids where you take them out to the store and, you know, they want everything that they see. And so sometimes my mom would just say, "You're fine, you're fine," you know, and in that context, it meant you don't need anything, you know, but it's just a way to, you know, to keep everyone on track. And, you know, and I wanted to praise the power of our ordinary forms of love between parents and children, and in particular between mothers and daughters.
Brittany Cooper with us, New York Times bestselling author, several books. The latest is out, Mama Says I'm Fine. Also, as mentioned, professor of women's and gender studies, Africana Studies at Rutgers, as you are practicing what you preach. Tell me about how you and Tamisha Anthony came to collaborate and what unique quality this great illustrator bring to the project.
Yes, Tamisha is a beautiful illustrator, and this is a gorgeous book. Thankfully, the press, Scholastic, paired us together. You know, I was able to send pictures of my mom and I together to Tamisha, and she used that as inspiration, and I think she really captured so much of the dynamic between me and my mom. And I think, you know, the illustrations, for me, they are super poignant and very heartfelt. And I think that so many children will gravitate towards the beautiful colors and the richness of them. And also, you know, there's so much movement and action. And I think so many young people will see themselves in these illustrations.
And Brittany, how, somewhat in review, but how does your story teach us about the power of, well, cultural pride?
You know, I think that we're in a tough moment in the country, and I'm very happy to be able to tell stories about Black life and Black families and Black love that just normalize that we're all everyday people. Everyone's trying to make it. Parents are just trying to raise their children to be decent people, and this becomes a tribute to that. It's a tribute to moms that sometimes get overlooked in our society, you know, single moms who are having to figure out how to make a way when, you know, childcare is super expensive and gas and groceries and everything else are super expensive. And that is a universal story. But, you know, one of the things that I'm very committed to in my work is the idea that Black people's stories in our country are part of what makes America great. And this is just an opportunity to celebrate that unapologetically and invite everyone to see all the ways we're connected in our family lives.
Brittany, how do we find out more about your work, Mama Says I'm Fine?
You can buy it at any indie bookstore, any place that you love to get your books. You know, you can follow me on social media where you'll see a hodgepodge of things, including children's books. And, you know, I'm a fiber artist. I love to crochet, knit, all those kinds of things with a smattering of politics on the side. So you can find me out in the world celebrating the power of mothers and daughters.
Keep on doing your good work with, what is it, Crunk Feminist Collective?
Absolutely. Listen, this is a hip-hop generation feminist tale.
Yeah.
And so we continue to do our good work together.
All right, keep on educating as well. You, Brittany Cooper, the book, again, Mama Says I'm Fine. Take care.
Thank you, Shelley.
She's a big deal. Andra Douglas, one of the women. That is a big deal. Flag football officially heading to the Olympics. Did you know that? There's a bigger story that hasn't been told about the women who played football. Former national champion in rugby and quarterback in women's tackle football, later becoming a creative executive at Atlantic Records for nearly two decades, owned the two-time national champion New York Sharks women's pro football team. Let's get to you, Andra Douglas. Good morning. Your book is out, Changing Cadence. Good morning.
Good morning.
I played flag football in college, and kind of wish I would have stuck with it. But that was a long time ago, and I'm glad that it's, back for the Olympics or here for the Olympics?
It is. I'm so excited. Both men's and women's, for the first time ever, will be in the 2028 Olympics.
Wonderful. Changing Cadence, exploring identity and transition through the lens of a woman leaving football. Let's talk a little bit more about you, Andra, if we can. When did you first get into rugby, football, and more?
Oh, I was little when I fell in love with the sport of football. And my dad was a big supporter. I'm from a small rural town in Florida. So Florida's, you know, so big in football.
Yeah.
So I kind of, I was steeped in it from a young age, and I just never lost it. I always wanted to play tackle, and of course, being a girl, you weren't allowed. So it was just a coincidence, I guess, if you believe in those, that I ended up owning this tackle, women's tackle football team and playing quarterback for it.
Great. And of course, dreams come true. Writing about what you do now, Billie Jean King describing your book as more than a sports story, a love letter to those who are committed to being their authentic selves. How would you describe your work in Changing Cadence?
Well, it's, you know, football is the vehicle, but truly anyone can relate because anyone, you know, you go through transitions in your life, whether you're a young child or an elderly person. And this book takes young people, which is the players from my team, and elderly people who are my mother and her friends in an assisted living. And it just kind of, it's real surprising, these friendships that strike up between the two groups. And it's just kind of, it explores all kinds of relationships and how those relationships change people and also make transitions a little easier.
Your, again, tagline, Friendship, Football, and the Art of Transition. Your style of writing, based on a true story, transitions what? Viewed through the character of Christine?
Yes. The character, this is actually the second book. And the first book shows the character growing up, wanting to play football, ending up owning this team. And then this book is as she ages out of the sport, no longer quarterback, having many other interests, and she just feels like she has to move on to, you know, other things in life. So Christine is the one that makes the transitions, but it tells so many other stories.
But is Christine an Andra Douglas?
Yes, Christine is an Andra Douglas. The book is a novel, but it is based on a true story, and that true story is are from my experiences.
Andra Douglas, again, talking to us, Changing Cadence, her latest work. Talk to me a bit, about your career spanning both professional sports and the music industry.
Yes. My second passion was art. I was fortunate to have several passions. And when I couldn't be quarterback to the Miami Dolphins.
Not yet.
I came to New York City, got my master's at a Pratt Institute, and ended up as a VP creative at Warner Vision Entertainment, part of Atlantic Records, which is part of Time Warner. And I loved the job. I really did love it. But when this football came knocking, I didn't abandon the job for the game, but eventually it segued into I did the football team full time.
And lastly, your personal experience as a female athlete, what, in an often misunderstood sport, even though perhaps flag football will be watched by many in the Olympics?
Flag football is coming around. I think tackle for women is very different. I think people still have a hard time with the contact sport for women, much even though it is making huge strides. I think that's still a bit of an issue, unfortunately, for some people. But the thing that's misunderstood is these women are, you know, their passion is just like the men, perhaps even more so. They get out there and play. They don't have endorsements. They don't get paid. You know, they're out there for the love of the game, and that's very nice to see.
Andrew Douglas, thank you for you. Keep on doing you with this series, Changing Cadence. How do we find out more information?
You can go to my website, which is AndraDouglasArt.com. And we also do a nonprofit for at-risk teens teaching the sport of football, and that is the Women's Gridiron Foundation.org.
All right, thanks for your time. Andra Douglas, again, Changing Cadence, exploring identity, transition through the lens of a woman leaving football yet doing great things. Flag football in this 2028 Olympics. Thanks, Andra.
Thank you so much.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Your inspiration for the day, according to William Faulkner, never be afraid to raise your voice for honesty and truth and compassion against injustice and lying and greed. It's heavy. If people all over the world would do this, it would change the earth. Thanks for being here. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a great day.